The elders are saying, re-establish your tribal governments. Make your own laws. Practice your self-determination as your ancestors have practiced it. Because my people's government had existed since time immemorial, I do not recognize the acts passed through Congress because I did not vote for them, I did not make those laws. Rather, they were imposed on us. But it is the fact that we have to live with the federal government. Federal government has a trust responsibility to our people. We know we want to be self-sufficient. And in some people's mind, trust responsibility is a bad word because the government or the federal government would be over us, would be watching over us. There is a need now to sit down with the government of Alaska, with the tribes, and make agreements so that we can lead our own destiny. I know in these days that the state of Alaska does not truly recognize our powers because by the definition of the dictionary, because we have a territory, we have a language, and we are a group of people. That word is nation. We are a nation. We can determine ourselves. And it has been said by the elders that our way were always better, because they had practiced 100% self-determination before the majority came around. By saying that I do not recognize the acts, but that I have to live with them, I do say the same thing towards the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Like one of the testimonies from earlier, one of the elders mentioned that if they had known the consequences of ANSCA, they would not have accepted the act. The act is an illegal act of Congress because we did not accept the act. Our tribal chiefs and leaders from our communities did not vote for it. If there was such a meeting within this region to accept ANSCA, those people had misunderstandings. The way of our people is changing. It changes, seems like, every generation. But our way of the way of our language, or our language, our ways, and some of our culture still exists to date. And it's important that we learn the ways of the majority so that we can survive in the future. Our people today no longer use the tools and means of subsistence lifestyle that our fathers and our grandfathers knew. Today, our people, the Yupik people, travel long distance and use modern weapons for their subsistence. Maybe that's why there are a lot of us that are kind of overweight, because of such easy traveling. But our culture is alive, our language is alive. And because very few of us, specifically those five village contract schools, recognized the importance of our culture, we utilized Public Law 93638, the Indian Self-Determination and Education Act. We used that act to run our own schools. Our first village, Akyak, when they were assuming the contract school, the Bureau of Indian Affairs tried to discourage them from contracting, saying that we don't have any qualified accountants to run such business because we would be handling thousands of dollars. I know for a fact that some of our villages that are contracting have a way better and in some cases higher comprehension than the state system. The reason for that is because it's local control. It's strictly decided, the policies are decided within the community. The community knows what it wants. It elects their own representatives. It hires their teachers. And they interview these potential teachers because they know that the survival of our culture and the knowledge that is to be gained by our children depends upon that teacher. As it has been stated by several of the members here in the building, we had our own courts. We had our own educational system. We had our own teachers before 1492. But as I mentioned earlier, in order to survive, and in order for our culture to survive, we must be educated and understand the ways of the majority. We have no choice but to understand the ways of the majority, but we cannot forget who we are. That's why we have stressed the importance of teaching our language, our culture in our schools. I would like to quote, or not word for word, but what I have read about an Indian chief of Seneca tribe. His name was Chief Red Jacket. And back in 1790, when his tribe was warring with the whites in his country, he said, "We are a small island in an ocean. They will overflow us like water and erode our island. And our island will be no more." And with that land, our people will be no more. Who will cry for us? White man? None. That's why it's important that we stress the existence of the tribal government, because it's our way. We have to educate not only our people, but also the majority. So hopefully we can live in harmony. But I guess that's what we have to do today. It's up to us to educate the majority if we want to be 100% self-determined and decide for ourselves by establishing laws and prosecuting in our own courts. During this week, we had several long conversations about tribal government. Majority of the concerns that we heard and formed these resolutions came from our elders. The first resolution that we worked on was an agreement between the native governments of Akichak, Akiak, and Tuluksak concerning a regional land jurisdiction agreement, keeping in mind a formation of a regional government. We established and developed this resolution. The resolution itself identifies several categories of land where we would like to claim jurisdiction over. And these lands include all native village town sites, all native allotments and restricted lands, all Anska lands, and all lands added in the future by grant, purchase, agreement, or otherwise, all lands within Indian country defined by federal law, all traditional and current hunting, fishing, and food gathering lands. And we also identified the historical sites and cemeteries to be our lands where we can claim jurisdiction over. those lands identified would be combined. And within the resolution, we mentioned that we would be inconsistent with any applicable federal Indian case law and any legislation that might be approved concerning Indian lands. We also requested the governments to establish a regional tribal court and a law enforcement system to protect the land and its inhabitants within those lands identified. Those lands would be identified by the Yupik elders from those communities mentioned. We left a clause where any Native community within the region can also join into this agreement by resolution, knowing that, as mentioned earlier, that united we stand, united we are stronger. Because any organization cannot operate without any monies, we requested our regional organization to reallocate some tribal operations monies towards this organization, because it would eventually benefit the whole region. And hopefully, after receiving the letters and our organization meetings take place, we formed an accepted resolution number 84703. This resolution that we established is like the IRA Act, the Indian Reorganization Act. Even though we are a nation within our villages, because of the definition from the dictionaries, we wanted to include other communities to form this nation. With that resolution, we requested the communities of Akichuk, Akiak, and Tuluksak to select two of their elected tribal officials and one community Yupik elder to be on that interim board of trustees. Because of the importance of the formation of this organization, we set a deadline of July 18, 1984, to have those villages submit their resolutions to us by that date. And once all the resolutions were submitted, the interim board would start meeting until the first annual meeting of these villages. In order for any organization to successfully operate, we must have educated people. And because those villages have existing BIA contract schools, we passed resolution number 4, requesting that Congress still keep our schools running. We have heard that all funding will cease as of June 1985. Because we understand through contracting, we want our schools to be in operation, because also the federal government passed has a law called Public Law 93638, which is the Indian Self-Determination Act. We did not restrict this resolution to the three villages that were participating, because there are two other schools in the region. We included Chifornik and Chivak in this resolution. And we also requested through this resolution that all state, national, and international Native organizations that have passed resolutions to renew their efforts to have the Congress still fund our contract schools. Knowing that the federal government intends to close our schools or the contract schools, we passed a fifth resolution requesting the establishment of a regional tribal school district. The word tribal is the key here, which hopefully we would like for our Yupik Nation to assume control of and let our governments hire our teachers. If this regional tribal school district becomes a reality, it would set a precedence, with the tribal being the key word. We know the procedures of education. We have hired our own teachers. We have our own people working for us. And most of all, we have local control and local direction. And that was the reasoning for accepting this resolution, fifth resolution. While I'm still in the subject of education, when we first contracted out our school, we hired a first Yupik principal for our contract school. And we established our philosophy of education, which I'm going to read now. By most standards, Alaska Native people can be considered to be among the most isolated ethnic groups in our entire country. Geographically, they are scattered throughout many isolated areas, thus constituting a need for the local governments to control the educational and other services of their people. The dominant culture, both federal and state governments, have constantly attempted to take over all services rendered to the Alaska Natives. The Yupik, like most of Alaska's original people, have been exposed to successive impacts of outside influence. The early Russian traders and missionaries gave way to American missionaries, who in turn gave access to a group of miners, seamen, traders, and assorted aliens from other lifestyles. The latter were replaced during this century by the bureaucrats who are still around. Each of these impacts changed the Yupik people in some ways. In many ways, this change appears negative. The subsistence lifestyle of the early Yupik gave way to dependency on jobs, store-bought food and clothing, and permanent settlements near bureaucrats' facilities, i.e. schools, hospitals, and other agencies. These changes that occurred were the result of institutional racism by the dominant culture. They have changed the Yupik society to their liking, but in doing so have brought many disadvantages to the Yupik population. They have left the Yupik in a state of struggle for survival in a very complicated society. After the settling of the white man in the area, the Eskimo had to make a drastic change in his lifestyle and adopt to an alien lifestyle with which he was unfamiliar. This change in lifestyle brought many obstacles he had to encounter in order to survive. During this process, he had to learn new ways of living and was forced to end the way of life he had known for centuries. This forced change brought many unwanted situations, but since it was brought in by a dominating culture, the Eskimo had no choice but to adhere to the changes. Some of the notable changes worth mentioning are in the field of family life, religion, health, and education. These four areas went through immense changes during the flow of the white man to the Southwest region. The people in this region did not ask for a change, but it was the idea of, quote, melting pot, unquote, syndrome that introduced changes to the native. Most of the changes required a new lifestyle to the native. He had a difficult time in adjusting to the changes. When a change was not to his satisfaction, the white man would not tolerate it, but would force the change to satisfy his standard of living. Such is the case in the educational system in the Southwest Alaska. Until recently, the dominant culture's approach to educating quote-unquote uncivilized savage was effective in a sense that they were successful in educating a numerous crop of red apples. When one refers to a red apple, that usually means that a native was educated only to serve the white man and to think like him also. Both state and federal governments were proud of the teachers who were responsible for educating these natives. What they really have done was to deculturize these individuals and eventually persuade them that the white way of surviving was the best way to live. This was a popular form of education until recently, when there were concerned local governments who realized there was a need for a new approaches for educating the natives. Education is society's means of presenting, enhancing, and strengthening its way of life. Native education must serve accurately and effectively transmit the societal and cultural needs of Alaskan Natives. We must perceive education not only as the intellectual development of the individual for his benefit, but as a social orientation and developmental process responsible for social change, which will benefit a collective group. Education must also develop the awareness of social, economical, political, educational, religious, vocational, and environmental conditions of our society. As educators, we must dedicate ourselves to developing the Yupik perspective abilities so that we can understand their way of life and apply our knowledge, awareness, and our collective abilities so the community can achieve an effective social transformation. The students, parents, and teachers must work together, and this process will be in accordance with the concept, quote-unquote, Ilagutnak. Since students, parents and teachers are able to relate to one another as Ilakukut, arising problems and other social problems can be overcome and the school will progress. We are all one, Ilakukut. If a student has a problem, they can feel free to discuss it with their peers and teachers, then seek consultation with whom the student can trust. The parent must be involved and works with the staff, therefore ensuring there is a total communication. In this way, we learn to work together. The educational program must be designed to guarantee survival of the Yupik people by properly planting each foot on two cultures. Education, through its program, must be a tool that enhances identification and acceptance by either culture. Native education also must teach the values that have kept the Yupik traditions alive and sustained life in the Delta. It must foster in the students' pride in themselves as members of a strong people and teach them the skills and understanding of life that is essential to keep them strong. Education, both native and other, is the main purpose of contract schools, and the educational program will not only benefit the students, but will include the community as well. All knowledge will be shared. What one knows is to be taught to others. This process, mutual help, was and still is living part of the Yupik culture. When implementing this process, the student becomes an instructor who must share what he learns and help educate the Yupik people. We must create cultural awareness and reinforce pride in our language and way of life. Therefore, our goal is to build positive images to counter the physical and psychological destruction of Yupik people. Survival of the Yupik people will be ensured when we are able to adapt to a changing environment, which is threatening the very existence of our culture, traditions, and way of life. Through a better educational system, such as native and core curriculum, we will be able to understand and live in our own culture and be respected by others. Presently, there is a continuing movement to develop native curriculum for tribally controlled education systems. Rough Rock Demonstration School in Window Rock, Arizona is an example of a modern-day educationally innovative program run by an Indian tribe, in this case, the Navajo. The Little Red Schoolhouse in Minneapolis is an urban survival school which serves the educational needs of the Indian students. 5 contract schools, Akiak, Akichuk, Chivak, Chifornik, and Tuluksak, are Alaskan examples of progressive education for the Yupik students. I wish to emphasize that a functional native curriculum is possible. It is a long and laborious process, but it is essentially doable also. The system in which this curriculum is embedded is going to continue to be that of the dominant society. There will continue to be the skeptical viewpoints which cannot accept that both ways can exist without one stamping out the other. In fact, both dominant culture and native ways have existed in the lives of the generations of native students who have to integrate both for these several centuries. All these thousands of native people who journeyed for and endured, many giving their lives, have actually provided us with a model of dual citizenship and education already. That was the philosophy that we established when we first assumed our contract school.
What year was that?
1981. Also, one of the resolutions that we passed was in reference to the beaver population that is presently existing in our region. The reason for this resolution was because the beaver was damming up the spawning areas of several various species of fish, including whitefish, blackfish, tomcod, herring, trout, and other species which spawn in our lakes, streams, and rivers were being jeopardized by the closing of the rivers by the beavers. Even though the state of Alaska had increased the limit, people are very reluctant to go out beaver hunting because the price of beaver has declined and it is not economical in many cases for the people to go out and trap for the beaver. Therefore, the beavers are adversely affecting the ability of several local fish species to spawn and reproduce, creating a major decrease in the number of our fish which our people subsist on. We're asking through this resolution that the state of Alaska provide bounties on animals which threaten the ecological stability of other animals and people have proven successful in the past. These resolutions were adopted today. Also, we had invited several organizations to participate in our conference. Very few of them participated. We had invited ICC, at which Daley Sambo, representing ICC, gave a report to us yesterday evening. Also, we had invited the World Council of Indigenous People, apparently due to moving to another city, their offices, they did not receive our invitation on time, but they did communicate with ICC, and in her report, Ms. Sambo gave the report on the World Council. We had invited national Indian organizations to come to our community to also to participate and provide assistance so that they can communicate our needs national level. But we did not receive any responses from those organizations also. AVCP was here. They gave their report and mentioned that they were willing to work with this organization in our efforts. We also had sent invitations to United Tribes of Alaska Chairperson Willie Goodwin of Kotzebue. Due to other scheduled activities, specifically the 4th of July, he was not able to make it to this meeting. We had also invited the congressional delegation to participate and carry forward our concerns to the federal government. They all wrote us a letter stating that for prior commitment, they couldn't make it to this meeting also. We had invited the Alaska Bush Caucus legislative members in hoping that we can communicate to them, to the state government, what our concerns were. Our representative participated in today's meeting. Senator Sackett's aide participated also. We had invited Jalista Corporation, our very own corporation, the person working for us, Mr. Alex Rader. He also declined the invitation because of previous commitments. But the resolutions themselves show how successful our conference has been. Una shuchali last 2 months ago, Miami Councilani Kuyuchtlimtni Umkwani Gali Kamuktakit Khatn Kanraluni Kwankuta Yuguni Kuyung Kalrani Ake Chormuni Khatn Kwankutnik Igazngatchun Pikutun Sovereign Nation Narulutak declare Achtukut. What in government touch tun, binichtalut, bin neutralutacha, ukut. Renewable land ka imkut bilakait, atam khani, paift tulit. Ayok stasigut kluki nakat, was napat now tulit. Tamakut renewable resource and pit to it. Tamakun atani rakhkauluki, jali suim kutkhani, non-renewable lot. Bila kai chimichchi galungut. Dama kutkwani im kulutin ukut khwaschat. Dama kutkwani atau ni rakhkau luki. Ukhun kwani government tamtkun. Jali shu. To ni kanagaluta. Kwankuta. Government taguluta. Kanaga yukngaluta kina nuna mkpiyung kshanik. Kwani yakke chogmi. Kwan kuta sai naumalgani akke chogmi uni kwatn kanaghtukut. Kwan kuta yuguni angu yakkun tiggoguk sai tukut. Kwan kuta yuguni nun nautfut kali kakkun kwasangu yakkun tamak sai taput. Kwan kuta yu yagaput tamak sai tut. Kwan kutnik yut au luksugung askit. Akka awakin piugut piushulutinsu. Kwan kuta yuguni yu yagaput aksuputsu au lukslau. Kwan kuta sai naumalgani akkia chogmini ukut ayari council laput li takaput kiimung. Government taguluting igaus ngatchitun constitution nagata bylagat nilu. Jali su una IRE council la jingu maput litnaovit. Board of Education natun du max kluki nasu makutwani jium yuktun kanqayagak yu yagaklu. Litnagut kisklugu, jali ilu.